Morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to our Connect service today. It's great to see you here. If this is your first time with us, or if it's your first time at the Connect service, you're especially welcome. We also want to say welcome to those who are at home joining us online. We know we've lots of people who tune in, sometimes from hospitals, sometimes from nursing homes, sometimes from home if it's not easy to get to church. So wherever you are this morning, you're really, really welcome as we come together to worship. And during this year in our Connect services, we have been thinking over the course of the year about people who have encountered Jesus. And today in our service, we're thinking about a very significant encounter between Jesus and a synagogue ruler called Jairus. And we'll be thinking a little bit about the significance of that encounter later in our service. Hopefully on your way in, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. Most of our regular weekly activities are happening during this coming week. I wanted in particular to mention some of the things that don't happen every week. In particular, wanted to mention on Thursday evening at 7:30, our Mothers Union, our meeting here in the hall. The special speaker is Ethna McCord, who is a member of the Mothers Union from the Diocese of Clogher. And she's going to speak about her experience of receiving the Maundy monies from Queen Camilla. That's on Thursday evening at 6:30, or at 7:30. And also to mention in a couple of weeks' time, on Sunday the 17th, over the course of the summer and over the course of the last number of months, we've been getting a little group of people together to share their memories or their stories of involvement in St. Finian's over the past 50 years. And we're sort of thinking about this in anticipation of our 100th anniversary, which is a few years down the road yet. But sometimes people have stories or memories, and we're trying to get them to share those stories and maybe to write them down. Maybe you're involved in an organization or an activity over the years in the church. And if you have memories, you'd like to come along and share them. We always have fun when we get together to do that. And it's going to be happening in a couple of weeks' time, 3:15 on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday the 17th of November. Also wanted to mention in particular this evening's evening service. It's our annual service of thanksgiving and remembrance of those who have died in the past year. It's a very special service in our church calendar, and after the service there'll be refreshments served here in the hall. So that's at 7:00 this evening, the annual service of thanksgiving and remembrance. Next Sunday our service is our Holy Communion at 9:00, and at 11:00 we will have a service for Remembrance Sunday with an act of remembrance, and next Sunday evening at 7:00 the service of Holy Communion. But as we come together and as we enter into God's presence, we're going to just sit where we are and we're going to share our opening prayer together. You'll find that prayer on the screen, and it's just an opportunity for all of us to focus our thoughts on God as we enter his presence. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and that each person open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. And so we're going to stand together as we come into God's presence and we sing the song, Wake Up.
Of music, wake my strength, my will, my tongue, and fill. this house with thankful song. Be exalted high above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth, the sky, the sea. All the love of God that reaches far and wide from Calvary. Wake up my spirit, wake. Wake up my soul, wake instruments of music, wake my strength, my will, my tongue, and fill this house with thankful song. Wake up my soul, wake instruments of music, wake my strength, my will, my tongue, and fill this house with thankful song.
So let's take our seats. And at this point in our service, we're going to just still our hearts and quieten our minds. We're going to think back over the week that has passed. And maybe there are times when we have not been the people that God would want us to be. And we're going to take this opportunity to say sorry to him, to make a fresh start with him at the center of our lives again. So we're going to be still, and then we're going to share together the prayer, which you'll see on the screen. God of everlasting love, God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and one another, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, grant to all your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And reassured of God's pardon and his forgiveness, we're going to stand together to sing His Mercy Is More.
He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor.
And if you'd like to be seated again, we're going to hear our Bible reading for this morning. Our reading this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 8 and beginning to read at verse 40. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Here ends our Bible reading. And we're going to respond to that reading by singing again. And during the singing of this song, the children and the young people are going to leave us for Sunday school. And we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to sing together 10,000 Reasons. And as we stay standing, we're going to declare our faith in God in the words of the Creed. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you'd like to sit for our next song is a more reflective song, and it's a song that reminds us of who God is and how he's with us in the best and the worst of times.
Foundations have been shaken, when I'm left standing in the dark, and all I feel is my heart breaking, you still reign. Voices whisper at your heart.
Let's just bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Lord, as we come to this service this morning with different needs and different situations going on in each of our lives, help us to trust and to understand that you still reign and you're still God. Open our hearts to receive whatever it is you want to share with us this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to ask Wesley maybe just to put up our first slide, which is there. And just as a little bit of recap, over the past few months in our Connect service, we've been thinking about all these different people who have encountered Jesus. And we've discovered that Jesus, throughout his life, throughout his ministry, has encountered a whole variety of people. People from different socioeconomic backgrounds, people with different worldviews, people with different ambitions or aspirations for the future, people of all sorts of different situations going on in their lives. And no matter who Jesus meets or where they're at in terms of what's going on for them, all of these encounters seem to make quite an impact upon them. And so I'm going to put up the next slide. And what I'm really interested in today, as we think about Jesus encountering Jairus, the synagogue ruler, is the context of this particular encounter. And if we think about the context for all the different encounters we've been thinking about in recent months, you remember in our first month, we were thinking about Jesus calling his first disciples. And he called them through invitation. Jesus showed up at their place of work where they were working on the fishing boat, and he issued this invitation to follow him. And maybe they accepted that invitation, perhaps because they were dissatisfied with their daily work. Maybe they were curious. Maybe they were in search of a new adventure. And then last month, when Jesus encountered a paralyzed man, and we think about the context for that encounter, maybe the main reason for that encounter was that the man's friends reckoned that he needed Jesus, and maybe Jesus could do something to heal him or to improve his situation. It was certainly worth exploring if they could just get access for their friend to encounter Jesus. But today, as we think of the context for this encounter with Jairus, a synagogue ruler was somebody very different again. And if we think about Jairus for a moment, we would say that Jairus was somebody who had reached the highest post that life could give him in terms of the respect of his fellow men. Jairus would have been, as the synagogue ruler, very well to do financially. Life had given him many things, but it was about to take away the most precious thing. And Jesus, if we think about the relationship between Jesus and the synagogue, Jesus would probably have represented quite a big threat to Jairus, because Jesus had this authority, he had this charisma, he had this capacity to engage with the crowds, and it would have undermined Jairus's power and authority. And whenever Jesus spoke in the synagogues, again, the crowds would get so big that eventually they would spill out from the synagogue buildings to the fields, to the seashore, to the open air. And so I guess Jesus would have represented quite a threat to Jairus, the synagogue ruler. But when we get to the context for this encounter, we'll see that the context, which is our next slide, was the overwhelming need that this synagogue ruler had in his life. And it is probably the most desperate situation that any parent could imagine. As Jairus, the synagogue ruler, throws himself at Jesus' feet and he pleads and begs for Jesus' help. His only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. And Jesus is desperately needed by Jairus to come to his home. And so when we think again about Jairus, we can see that he was clearly a man who could lay his pride aside. Jairus would usually be the most important man in the room. He might have been in charge of the local worshiping community. He would manage the budget of the synagogue. He would say who comes in or who stays out. But at this point, Jairus has run out of road. He is overwhelmed. He's desperate. And he is in the worst moments of his life as he pleads and begs with Jesus for his help. And it's almost like Jairus has realized in that instant that all of the other stuff doesn't really matter. All the wealth, all the power, all the influence, all of that stuff doesn't really matter when the most overwhelming and difficult things are happening in your life or in your family's life. And I guess the big question that underlies this encounter, which we're going to see in a moment, is, can Jesus make a difference in the darkest valleys that we go through? Will he be there in the darkest valleys that we face? And even as we put that question up there, it's a very hard and a very painful subject for us to think about. Because I know that there are people in the room this morning who are going through those kinds of moments right now. Maybe someone that you love has died, or maybe you yourself have received a diagnosis of a serious illness. Maybe a relationship has broken down, or maybe a friend or a son or a daughter is traveling down a road that you don't agree with. And despite your concerns and your desire to help that other person, they're caught up in a spiral of destructive behavior or maybe an addiction, and despite your best efforts, you cannot reach in and help them. And there are moments in all of our lives that completely take the wind from beneath us. And despite any competence we might think we might have, despite whatever inner sense of resilience we think we might have, despite any bank of knowledge or experience that we've acquired, all of a sudden, when these things happen, we're left floundering and we're totally out of our depth. And that is what seems to be happening in this particular encounter. And as Jesus makes his way with Jairus to his home, there is a further unwelcome interruption, because a woman has touched Jesus' robe in the crowds, and the crowds which are milling around him in that kind of crush. This woman has touched Jesus' robe, and Jesus wants to know who's touched him, because he's felt power going out from his body. And of course, this woman is almost shamed into acknowledging that she touched him, and she touched him because she believed that by touching him, she would be healed. And it is a big scene, it's a big kerfuffle. And yet, what interests me in this kerfuffle is that Jairus, in that moment, doesn't actually seem to be all that bothered. And maybe it is because in his own moments of desperate, desperate need, he realizes that this woman who has touched Jesus' robe is also desperate. She's been ill, we're told, for over 12 years, and she needs healing too. But then the worst of news comes through, as somebody from Jairus' household comes and says very starkly into this situation, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." And if you even pause for a moment and try and enter that scene in your imagination, I can visualize the absolute awfulness of that moment. Because Jairus has given his absolute everything to find hope, to find healing for his daughter. And he got so close to actually getting Jesus to his house before she died. And I guess there's all those thoughts would have been going through his head. If they hadn't been interrupted by this woman, would they have made it? It seems like it is all over. But Jesus doesn't seem to think so. And what I notice is he doesn't leave Jairus in his worst moment. But what Jesus does is he offers another perspective. And he says, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." And you wonder to yourself, what would have prompted Jairus to actually continue on the journey after being given that terrible news that his daughter had died? What prompted him to keep hoping against hope and to make his way on home? And of course, as Jairus gets nearer to home, it's a terrible situation that greets him. It's a situation of intense grief and devastation. And there are all these women who are professional mourners outside the house, and they're wailing and they are lamenting the loss. There's lots of people milling around outside. And as Jesus goes inside, he just allows three disciples to come with him and the child's parents. And he tells all those people who are outside that the girl is not dead, but she's sleeping. And of course, everybody laughs at him because they know that she's dead. And I wonder, is it somehow the same in our own day when we say that as Christian believers, we believe that there is a life beyond this one, a life after death? And if we ourselves have watched disease and illness diminish and weaken someone that we care about, and we've seen their earthly life draw to a close, we still sometimes proclaim that hope that there is a life beyond this one, and others struggle to believe in what we're telling them. And of course, we can never argue other people into believing that it's true. But Jesus himself spoke about this hope of a life beyond this life when he comforted his disciples in John chapter 14. After he had told them about his own impending death, he spoke about preparing a place for us, that he would come back to take us to be with him where he is. And I guess perhaps the most compelling witness to the type of experience that we see unfolding in this encounter with Jairus is whenever I see and I hear people living through these darkest moments, as I did quite recently, and as I do quite frequently in the privilege of spending time with people in the parish. Quite recently, somebody who was nearing the end of her life, when I asked her, was she afraid? She told me very calmly that she wasn't at all afraid. She said, of course, I'll miss my family here. But she said, I know where I'm going. I know I'll be with the Lord. And I know that I will be with my loved ones who've gone before me. And she said, I'm looking forward to it. I am totally at peace with what's happening to me. And you know, those are incredibly powerful, incredibly moving things to hear from somebody whose body is failing right in front of you, and when life on this earth is drawing to a close. And so I wonder, as we consider these encounters with Jesus that we've been thinking about over these past few months, do any of those encounters resonate with things that you might be thinking about or facing just now? And from this particular encounter with Jairus, the thing that I really take away with me is that Jesus does not disappear when we are in the darkest valley. He stays with us in the darkest of life's moments. And he reminds us also that he has achieved the ultimate victory, even a victory over death itself. And he invites us to share in that victory. Amen. We're going to respond to his power and his majesty as we sing together our next song, Thank You.
Thank you for your hope, thank you for
Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you today for your promise to go with us into the darkest valleys of life. Thank you for the victory that you've won through rising from the dead and defeating its power over us forever. And today we want to lift before you all those known to us who are traveling through difficult and painful places on their earthly journey. We pray for those who feel overwhelmed by life's sorrows, by financial worries, by mental and physical health issues, by bereavement and loss. And just as you met Jairus in the most difficult moments of his life, would you walk alongside those whom we know who are suffering and struggling and feeling overwhelmed? Might be ourselves this morning, might be someone we know, but we ask you to meet us at those places of deep need and help us to find a way through. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for your church today and for David, our bishop, and we pray for all the ways that your church seeks to reach out to those in need. We pray this morning for Dalway, our speaker from last Sunday, from Harvest Sunday, and we pray for his team from Fields of Life, who are traveling this week through South Sudan and later will be traveling into Rwanda and Uganda. We pray that they would know your protection and that they would bring blessing and encouragement as they visit communities that are deeply affected by trauma and conflict and by poverty and suffering. And we ask that that team from Fields of Life would be agents of your hope and your grace wherever they go. Lord, in your mercy. We also want to pray for our world leaders in a season of remembrance. And as we think of the week that is to come, we pray and ask for the peaceful holding of elections in the United States this week. We pray for global gatherings of remembrance that will take place around the world. And we pray that those gatherings would galvanize the efforts to broker peace and ceasefires in the Middle East, in Ukraine and Russia, and in conflict zones right throughout the world. We ask that this season would bring fresh thinking and resolve to stop the bloodshed. We also want to remember, especially this morning before you, the people of Spain after flash floods this week have caused so much loss of life and destruction of homes and businesses and overwhelming shock and suffering. Lord, we ask that your presence would be real to all who have been affected by these terrible events in the past week. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to join together now to sing the hymn of our offering, Jesus Strong and Kind. So thank you to everybody for joining in our worship with us this morning. And as we prepare to go out into the week as God's people, we're going to pray together the prayer, which you'll see on the screen together. We go into the world. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight, for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's bow our heads for God's blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. We're going to sing together, How Great Thou Art, our closing song.
Oh,
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.